Friends, almost every Sunday that I get a chance to stand up here and welcome you to worship, it's always a privilege to do it, but I don't know that there's ever been a time where I have felt more grateful to be able to do that than right now. It's good to see you all back. I know that for some of you, this is your at least your second worship opportunity. As we had a chance to worship here informally this past Wednesday night. Some of you I know didn't get that information, but, and the news has been traveling well. Some of you still don't have internet, from what I'm told. We're going to get out the news just as best as we can, but we wanted to make it clear to God's people and for those of you that are just joining us again now that we want the church open and available to God's people, whether it's for personal time of prayer and meditation, to have someone to talk to, or for opportunities to worship. And so even as we worshiped informally here last Wednesday night, the facility was hardly ready to get back into operations. We're going to be doing something a little more formal this coming Wednesday evening. We've invited the City of Newport Richey Police Department. Don't know how many of them we're going to get to show, but we've invited them for a dinner, and we're going to start the dinner at 6:30 like we usually do. We're going to have it catered so that instead of having to worry about everybody bringing different things, we'll just make sure that we've got plenty there for all of God's people. So we'll take care of that for Wednesday night, and we'll have a worship service over there after we're finished. So we hope that you can join us for that. We thank you, those of you that were able to join us for our fellowship for this morning. It's always something special. And I know that, you know, usually last Sunday is our fellowship Sunday, and we'll go back to that second Sunday again next month. Just so that God's people know, I was talking before the service to the ushers and so forth about the shoes for the soul. Some of you are sitting around some of those shoes. We're going to be dedicating those here in just a moment, but we got word this morning that the amount of shoes, we had gone just over 90 pairs of shoes. Well, apparently that amount has now just about doubled. We got another grant in for a bunch of people that bought over 90 other pairs. Now, those pairs are going to go to, I guess there's an additional need now with the Pasco County Sheriff's Department, so we're going to make sure that they get some of those shoes. But friends, you have just donated, even in the midst of the hardship, over 180 pairs of shoes. Easily a record for us here, and something I hope we can all feel good about, because as I think you understand, once they go out into the world, to the schools or wherever, they're not going to go very far. They're just, the needs are so great, but whatever we can do to help with those needs, I think is going to be very, very useful. The biggest thing that we're going to need, obviously, from God's people here in the weeks to come are going to be eyes that are very vigilant, whether it's for our own needs, the needs of neighbors. And we're looking at two things. Number one are some of the things that might be obvious needs that you might need help with, and you're just going to have to be willing to kind of lose a little bit of the pride and ask for help because, you know, for example, one of the needs that we know that is out there, and we're going to be asking God's people to respond to it, and we're going to be asking God's people that need it to ask. And that is, you know, a lot of people, because losing power, they had to throw everything out of their refrigerator and everything out of their freezer. And it doesn't take long just to try to restock that. The dollars add up. I'm going to be working with both church and disaster officials this week to try to get some of those needs addressed on behalf of our church, but we will be taking donations for gift cards for that as well as giving out gift cards for those who need them. The other thing is that as disaster officials are making their assessment, sometimes they're just keeping their eyes and ears open. What need is out there that is not being met? That they're just, no matter where you look, there just doesn't seem to be any way or any means to be able to deal with this particular problem. If you run into something like that, we also would like to know that, because this is not an exact science in terms of figuring out where best the needs are going to be and where the aid is going to be sent to meet those needs. And sometimes it involves things that nobody had ever previously thought of, but they thought of it here, and we'll try to make sure that those are a part of what it is that we do. So as we go into the coming week, we're going to try to get operations here at the church back to normal as much as we can. And the only other announcement that that I have to make this morning is a little thing here where, and I did try to get word that sent out that regardless of what service, ordinarily, if this would have been on a regular schedule, we would have had Holy Communion this morning. I have asked that we bring communion to all three services. So we did last night, we did at 8 o'clock, and we will here this morning. But before we begin with our service here, I have placed just a couple of pairs of the shoes that that are in different places throughout the congregation that I want to make sure that we bring into dedication and service of the Lord, because this is the Lord's doing, what he has done here. The Lord who has made everything good in its time. We begin, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who walk through the courts of Zion, bringing forth joy into the heart of the kingdom of heaven. Friends, these shoes are going to serve the purpose for God's people, many of whom, as they come into like church or school offices and so forth, may have just ruined the last or only pair of shoes that they ever had. And for some of them, they give something like this, and you may have noticed that more than a few of the pairs of shoes now have a matching pair of socks to go with them. But this is our opportunity in which the Lord has blessed us to be able to be a blessing to others. So our help indeed is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, you delighted in the praises of all of your faithful servants, and you have accepted the sacrifices of the gifts of love that they have given. Look upon us now, and as you graciously accept this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, may it be used in our community for those, may it, as you have brought support into our lives in ways that we can see and in ways that we cannot, bring support also to these people. For each child that benefits from these shoes, may they grow up in the nurture and knowledge and love of you, that they may return to you to give you their thanks and praise. Be with us and bless each and every one of these shoes as they go out to your people, to members of your family that have been redeemed by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we dedicate these shoes for using amongst God's people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you turn to the bottom of page 2 in our service folders, this is another. We started these services on Labor Day weekend. There will be a total of 4 of them prior to Reformation weekend. For this one, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And from Martin Luther, we conclude, therefore, that a Christian lives not in himself, but in Christ and a neighbor. He lives in Christ through faith and in his neighbor through love. So please stand as we begin our worship. And we call to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. It is he who remembered us in our low estate. He has rescued us from our foes. Following a moment of silence, let us confess our sin to God, our merciful Father. Thus says the Lord God, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Lord, we know that it is our neighbor who is the one who is in need. Yet we can be so concerned about ourselves that we do not even see someone who needs our compassion and generosity. Even though we know that you are God and Lord in our lives, we end up loving ourselves way more than you or our neighbor. Lord, please forgive us because of your love for us. Jesus said to the man, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. But not only do we fail to love our neighbor, but Lord, we also fall short on loving you with all our heart, soul, and mind. Many days we barely give you much thought. Other days, our prayers are filled with requests, but little evidence of the love that gives praise and thanks for all you give us. Lord, please forgive us because of your love for us. Lord, you have also reminded us of this, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, in your love, you have freed us to love one another, yet we turn that freedom into desires to be served instead of serving someone else. Our selfishness shows up in our homes, in our work, in our trips to the store, and even in church. Lord, please forgive us because of your love for us. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Because of this divine love for us, I, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, declare to you that your sins are forgiven. In the name of God the Father who loves you, in the name of God the Son who showed that love on the cross, and in the name of God the Holy Spirit who pours that love into our hearts. Amen. Redeemed, restored, ready to serve our Lord. Let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant to us, your humble servants, your holy inspiration, that we may set our minds on the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson is from Psalms 32. Blessed are the forgiven. King David writes, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Many are their sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Romans 13. Today's theme, love your neighbor as yourself, expressed also in submission to our leaders and authorities. St. Paul writes, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear for the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in the subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them: taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus gives us a lesson on who is the greatest. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Portion of Luther's small catechism that we're going to focus on this morning, commandments 4, 5, and 6. What is the fourth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. What is the fifth commandment? You shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. What is the sixth commandment? You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other. Friends, this is a series of services. The first we did Labor Day weekend and was delivered by our elders, and three of them did quite well. A series of services to prepare us for the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation in late October. These four services go through some themes that Martin Luther discovered as he studied St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the epistle lessons that we have been using throughout the summer that we're just about to wrap up now here in the next week or so. What happened was that as Martin Luther was growing up, he was given all the wrong ideas about who God was. To him and to the people who taught him, including his parents, God was nothing but an angry, vigilant judge, ready to strike us down into the fires of hell because of our sins. You've heard the term fire and brimstone sermons, and everyone back then was like that, because that's who God was, or that's who they thought he was. And Martin Luther felt guilt for his sins, but he also sought relief. Sadly, what he was taught told him he wasn't going to get it from Jesus Christ. Oh, they were taught about Jesus dying on the cross, but Jesus in some ways was to be feared even more than God. They said, well, Jesus isn't as bad, and yet all he knew about Jesus was going to be the one to come down on the last day and deliver God's judgment. There was no place in Martin Luther's heart or in what was being taught for forgiveness, mercy, love, grace. And no one took to heart what he had been taught more than Luther did. And so he felt the guilt for his sins, and he sought from anybody relief from that guilt. And even as he became a monk and then a priest, he could not find relief. And no one could give it to him because, bluntly, they all believed the same thing. All they knew how to, since Luther would just pester them hour after hour about his own sins, all they knew what to do was to give him more work. So they assigned him a job nobody else wanted to do, to teach young student priests the Bible at a new university of Wittenberg. And so Luther, as he prepared, one of his first books that he was going to teach the students was the Psalms. And Luther did something that was, back in that day, was almost revolutionary. He actually got a Bible and read it, and read what it said. Oh, yeah, there are people that would, you would be reading books about what different people said about the Psalms or whatever, but rarely did people, even amongst the leaders, read the Bible like they should. Now, you know the Psalms, at least some of them, and you start hearing things like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What? Well, that had Luther confused, but it was when he started teaching Romans that the light finally came on who this God really was. The God you know, the God you've been taught, the God who, that first theme over Labor Day weekend, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the righteous shall live by faith." Well, as we expand on that, as the services worked out, this is actually the third of the four services. We'll get to the second one here in a couple weeks, but we're doing the third one today because the theme of the third service was on today's epistle lesson. It was actually the epistle lesson for last Sunday. We had prepared this service to do for last Sunday, but it's like, no, we need to do this, so we just moved it to this weekend. And so here we are. How it is that this love that God has for us, where he sent his only begotten Son, how is it made manifest in our world? And the answer is through family and through the authorities that God has placed into our midst. You know, if I were to ask the question to you, okay, what's your relationship with God like these days? I have a hunch that there would be a certain sameness amongst the answers. Well, I try, do the best I can, but I know that, you know, I'm supposed to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, and I know I fall short of that. I know he loves me a whole lot more than I love him, and I know I should do better. We would all say that. And we'll spend the rest of our lives understanding that we'll never be able to love God the way he loves us, but he loves us anyway. But then if I change the subject, okay, now what is your what's your relationship like with, say, maybe your family? Now there is where I'm going to start getting all kinds of interesting answers. You know, when I started preparing this message, I had no idea that I was going to be able to preach it just on the backside of Hurricane Irma. Because a curious thing has happened in a lot of families, certainly not all, but a surprising number of families just in the last couple weeks. Families that were battling over trite things, families where the whole name of family isn't even spelled beginning with an F. It begins with the letter D, as in dysfunction. And yet, so many families actually started coming together. Because at some point you realize that the things that separate us are trite. They are nothing. But when you're talking about someone having to be safe or having to go and make sure somebody else is safe, that kind of tends to wash out into the Gulf a lot of things that kept people separated. And I'll tell you, I heard of some stories that are little less than Pentecost-like miracles of how family members have been brought back together as they had to prepare themselves and then go through at least what they anticipated in a storm. And it's a good thing, friends, because we have learned certain lessons. And whether we're talking about family or whether we're talking about government, it actually works out the same way. Now, my theme for this morning is, now, nobody ever said that these things are going to be easy. Nobody ever said true love and respect were ever easy. And when it comes to family, when it comes to government, no, it isn't. But friends, this is why God put these things into the world. You read this morning, as it talks first about government, how it is that, you know, there is no such thing as a government that's out there unless God ordained it. And even in our own country, you know, especially when you look at the fact that we have different leaders that come from different parties, and I know that way too many people just put it in their own mind that this person was wonderful and this person's absolutely lousy, but God has given us all those people. God has placed those people in there for our good. And let's be clear. We have been given a good government. It's a lesson that unfortunately also went right past the Jews during the time of Christ. They thought the Romans were the worst thing in the world. And yet here's Paul actually willing to admit that as governments go, this government was probably more fair and more equitable than most you would ever see. And Paul could easily go back to some of the truly evil empires that, while they were indeed evil, genuinely evil, they also were being used for a purpose by God, a purpose that at the time may not have been able to have been seen, but a purpose that surely was there. And yet today, at least up until the hurricane rolled around, we had the level of disrespect in this country towards our leaders had reached an all-time high. And it gets itself to the point where I would hear things about, well, this person, and I'm sitting here, so what? The people that who have served as president of the United States, who have served as governor of our state, who have served as the leaders, wherever it is that they fall, these people are our leaders and were put there by God, and they deserve our respect simply because of the office that they hold. And that plays itself out in a way that hopefully we've had a chance to see. You know what? The last time they had an election for governor, I heard a few things about it, but I wasn't here. But I do know this. As we were preparing for the hurricane. Didn't make any difference to me what party was, even what his name was. But when it came time for some of the press conferences that Governor Scott was giving, I wanted to find out when they were and to hear what he had to say. Because we come to realize that times like this, we need government. We need the kinds of things that government does. We know that government doesn't do all things well. Who does? But the things that they were trying to do, the things that they were trying to set up, the announcements that they were trying to make, were no less so that they could do what they could do to try to help save lives. They understood that. They realized that that falls to them, that at some point there needs to be a coordination point. And no matter what we think of government, we realize we look to them at those times for the kind of help that we need. And if it comes to the point where they ask us to do certain things, we may not always understand or agree with it, but the respect that we have means that we're paying attention to it, because at some point our very lives may depend on it. And I want you to imagine a state or an entire country without the foundation of government, not just people that are giving, that are telling us the things we need to do, but are able to help provide the resources that can get us through the most difficult times that we're going to face. You see, God has placed into our world certain things in which it is to be the presence of God on this earth, whether they understand it or not. And the same is true even as we see government trying to be the hand of God on our behalf, whether we realize it or not. The same is true with family. You know, God has bestowed upon us a lot of grace, a lot of gifts, a lot of love. How is that grace and gifts and love going to make its way to the people that most need to benefit, from adults to children? Well, that, if you may want to use the word pipeline or whatever word you'd care to use, the pipeline he has put into place is what we call family. And that's why, you know, when we went through the fourth commandment just a little while ago, honor your father and your mother, and it uses words like, well, honor them, don't despise them, serve, obey, love, and cherish. Might be tough words, especially when we realize that most of the people I'm looking at right now, we're not children anymore. A lot of us, our parents have been granted everlasting life. But as long as they're there to be able to make sure that we see that the conduit the Lord has set up, that pipeline, to make sure that it's done, is done through family. God gives to us an opportunity to see to see all that he is and all that he does played through in the lives of people in this world. And for that, we need to be able to understand three things. Number one, that includes you. Now, you may end up being on three different sides of the pipeline all at the same time. The person that God looks to amongst members of your own family. The person where God looks to somebody else that you may receive that blessing through them. But also the person that might have to be the one that either fixes the pipe or at the very least needs to be the person that quits breaking the pipeline. God has shown to us so much that he gives in this life. And look, nothing is more important than his only begotten son that he gave for us, so that no matter what we're talking about, our lives start under the form of just governments, under the form of good families, and all of the other things that we pray for: good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, self-control, good friends, faithful neighbors. The list goes on and on. In the midst of all of that, the most important thing that he gave to us was his son, who died on the cross for our sins, that now, as we gather here, in a place where, as the days were approaching, we must have wondered, as much as anything, and I can't believe how many people I got word that once they realized they were okay, One of the first things they wanted to do, even if they knew they couldn't go inside, was to drive here and make sure that the church was okay. Because this was important to you. And it's important to all of us. And it's a blessing that God has given to us, that has been dedicated into a service that we may give him our worship and praise, and is a place where we keep reminding ourselves every day about the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That, friends, is something that we have to do. Because you have to understand now, we're going to have to be the shining lights for our community. We are going to have to be the shining lights for those who have dwelled in the land of deep darkness. There was a image of kind of a satellite image that they were putting, in which they were superimposing just a much closer picture of where you could see where the lights were on in Florida. And then as the storm moved up, you would just start watching lights go out, just tons and tons of lights go out left and right. And even today, almost everybody has their power back, but not everybody. We got people that had power through the storm that now have lost it. It's going to take a while to bring things back to normal. But we already lived in a world that was plunged into the deepness of darkness. And we were the ones that needed to be the light, and it's even more so now. But friends, we are not going to be able to shine like the stars unless we make sure that our lives, our relationships, the way that we approach the different things that God has placed into our lives, as that has been set into place for us and for our benefit, now we can be a blessing to other people. And hopefully we will be. You'll be hearing a lot in the weeks to come about what God is, about how maybe we can help. But in the meantime, we simply remember that lesson. What God has placed into your life is to benefit you. And now that we have benefited from these things, now it's time to find somebody else out there. Because God's blessings, as they have come to you, are now going to go into another place. But it's always going to start from God. And then once God uses those things he's given to us in this world, now it will and it must come from you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's receive our offerings. And if you've not already done so, we do need you still to fill out those faith fellowship cards. Let us know that you were here today. One last thing. I do hope, so that I can stand through two worship services, I do hope to be back in the pulpit next Sunday. Please note the special prayer response that is up on the screen that we will use for our prayers as we bow our heads, lifting up our hearts to the Lord. Lord our God, we stand in awe this morning of your presence, that you have blessed us, that you have kept us safe, that you have allowed us to return to the building and sanctuary that has been dedicated for your service and filled with gifts of love on behalf of your faithful people, that we may give you our prayers, our praise, and our thanks. We thank you for enabling us to see all of the ways that you work through our lives, even in the storms of life. Help us to harvest all of the special things that you now give to us, that we may find joy, even in the midst of some of the darkness, darkest darkness we have seen, that we may find blessings at the coming of each new day as you shine the light of life in our hearts. Ever-present Lord, abide in us with your love. Heavenly Father, we give you our most gracious thanks for the most important gifts that you have bestowed on us, for the gift of your Son that you gave that he might give his life for us, for the gift of your Word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who fills our lives with love, joy, peace, humility, goodness, faithfulness, and yes, generosity. We pray for your church. Especially in the days to come, allow us to accomplish that things that need to be done, that your will be done in a dark place. Make it alive by your grace, that it may seek to praise you in all that we do. Ever-present Lord, abide in us with your love. We thank you for those authorities that you have placed into our life to serve as blessings, and that you have made us one of those people that are being asked to be a blessing. So we ask that you uphold all leaders in our land, those at the federal, the state, county, local levels. Help them always to understand and know and follow your will, that we may live lives that are in peace and safety, that we may serve you without hindrance, and that we may see the blessing that you bring forth through each and every one of them. Ever-present Lord, abide in us with your love. Even now, Lord, there are those, some because of the storms, some because of things that continue in life before and after the storms, that are facing hardship, sickness, suffering, danger, loneliness, sorrow, and trouble. There are those that we have only met in passing, people we do not have names for, but we know that they are in need of the love and comfort and strength that only you can give. Be with them, Lord. Fill their lives with your grace. Hold before them the perfect peace of Christ. And for all other things that we ask of your mercy, give us for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Our closing prayer is on the middle of page 9 in our service folders. Please stand as we pray together. Heavenly Father, you have made us your children by our baptism into Christ and given us the hope of eternal life in the forgiveness of our sins. Help us to share that life and forgiveness with all people, for all with us are in need of your mercy and deliverance. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Amen. Friends, thanks again so much for joining us. We hope you can join us again Wednesday night. Go in peace and serve the Lord.